What's up, boys and girls? My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and I'm coming to you on the newly formatted version of video capturing. Do you know that when I first did this, I recorded a 30-minute video, and it looks like the file size is less than 11 megabytes. It's possible that this is like over 100 times smaller than the files I have been making. And then when I stop to think over the years how many of these videos I've made, and I've gotten big giant 2 and 3 gigabyte files just sitting there that could be 10 megabytes big instead of being all huge like this, makes me wonder about a batch program that would go find all these files and then convert them to something smaller to save that space. But hard drive space is so small. I mean, hard drive space is getting cheaper and cheaper, so it might not be worth the effort, but it might be fun to try to figure out. Basically, what I could do is I could do a search for all star.mp4 files in a folder. They'll come up, sort them by file size, get all the big ones, drag it over to any video converter, and just let that bastard run all night converting those files down to something smaller. I mean, because it's nice. The only thing with the big files is if you want to watch it on TV, makes it look not quite perfect, but better. The bigger the screen, the more you'll see the lower quality and the lower resolution. So that's that. But other than that, my sauna suit came yesterday. I thought about wearing it today, but I checked and it said it's gonna be 100 degrees today. So I'm like, okay, that means I'm trying to see if I can make it not do stuff. If I can make it, well, that worked. I hit the volume key, that works. So I wonder if I hit this, power this on, power on the Bluetooth. If I hit the Bluetooth, what would happen? The Bluetooth's connected to the camera, so when it goes to the fade, I wonder what happens when I hit the Bluetooth. Let's see. Oh yeah, cool. It brings up the volume, which is good, because I don't mind the volume going up. So when it fades now, I can hit the trigger on the Bluetooth remote for the selfie stick, and that tells the camera to adjust the volume, which I really don't care about. I just care about it triggering the screen timeout, resetting the screen timeout. So that works, okay. As long as the selfie stick remote doesn't time out and go to sleep, because it will go to sleep too. If it's not, it used to save its battery. Exciting stuff, huh, people? I think so. I really do. I think a lot of stuff is exciting. Hell, in fact, I think the stuff that's not exciting is exciting. There are moments where I'm sitting in my apartment or wherever, and I just get overwhelmed by the opportunity of discovery that I still have. There's so much that I have, so much accomplished, experienced, gained the capability of, the knowledge of, my foundation, my operating system, my processing power is one thing. To be where I'm at is one thing, regardless of where I'm at. To be where I'm at is one thing, regardless of where I'm at. The other thing is what lies ahead of me, the future. What opportunities do I foresee myself? When I wake up in the morning, what am I thinking? The world is mine? Or am I thinking the world is out to get me? Am I thinking today's going to be a good day? Or am I thinking, why am I even waking up? What's the point? You could probably say I eliminate all that by having my walks, getting my ass up 9:15 and just go walking first thing in the morning before you even think. Just go. Get up, get dressed. Do you go? Just go, walk. That way by the time I wake up and realize what's going on, hopefully I got a mile or two or steps under my belt. I love my regiment. I love my routine. I love my job. And it seems more and more that I need to, I don't want to use the word need because I don't want to use the word need because, as you know, I can do anything I want. And I feel that way. That's part of the how you feel when you wake up in the morning. I wake up in the morning feeling like I can do anything I want. So words like got to and need and have to almost trigger me. And I realized, I was thinking the other day maybe, that when people tell me that, you got to do this, regardless of what they're telling me I got to do, and they might be right. And I may even understand that their phrasing is limited to their vocal or limited to their vocabulary. And I'm not a person to hold that against them. Not that part. But I will throw back the got to. In any got to situation, to let them know that by them saying you got to is only their opinion. And I'll tell them, I say, I ain't got to do nothing. And they'll go, well. And that forces them to explain why. If they go, I say, well, why do I got to? You know, why? That's your opinion. Why do I got to? And then they have to explain why. And then they'll have, in doing that, they have to revisit their reasonings for having this opinion and try to articulate them, which I may or may not know that they can do. So, is that cheating? Is that unfair on my part? Is that a tactic? Or is that me taking advantage of superior ability and experience? But regardless, the point stands. Why do I got to? Why do I need to? Why do I have to? Now, if they were to say, you have to hit button A for light C to light up, that's a have to. If light C don't light up any other way, it's kind of straightforward. But for something not as straightforward as that, where a direct action triggers another action, well, technical things, electronics, computers, if you want to hook your printer up wirelessly, you got to connect it to your Wi-Fi. You got to. Well, there's other ways. You can go Wi-Fi direct. See, even that. You can go Wi-Fi direct where you don't even have to hook it to your Wi-Fi. You just have the laptop connect directly to the Wi-Fi direct. What the hell is that about? And maybe that's what's happening at work. It may be one of the situations we have when we install remote printers, where the installation connects it to a manufacturing looking label, WD or something, blah, 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 blah. Instead of a labeled IP address. So what I'll do is I'll go in, I'll have the person get the IP address, because sometimes it changes. The router changes, the router reboots, sometimes it reboots, and the printer gets another IP address because of DHCP protocol, dynamic host control protocol, in which new devices on the network are automatically given an IP address, and that can change. And if your computer wants to print to IP address so and so, and the printer changed to IP address not that anymore, it's not gonna work. So just thought I'd take you down one of the most, I don't want to say difficult, one of the most challenging things we do. Remote printers. But over the years, you get a hang for it. You get a hang for what the user in general is comfortable with doing and understanding. You learn the terms and terminology and phrasing, cadence, vocal speed to use on different customers. Sometimes I gotta soften my voice, and I will even say, wait, let me calm down. I'll even say, let me slow down. Okay, because the user will call, and they're hyped, and I hear them, and I may be already jumping around being crazy. We both get hyped, and then we're both going back and forth. I'm trying to get information. They try to tell me stuff. I go, okay, whoa, wait a minute. Wait. Let me calm down, lower my tone, bring everybody down. And meticulously handle this issue as I have handled it in the past. I had to do that yesterday, in fact. I actually said on the phone, well, I was like, whoa, let me calm down. Let me calm down. Let me take a deep breath. Let me take a deep breath. Okay. And then I went at it. Yeah, I'm getting kind of comfortable at work. Not sure if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I'm definitely getting comfortable. Well, not getting. I probably am. First 4 years, I wasn't, though. Hell, I think I wasn't even comfortable when they made me permanent. And that was after 4 years. And I think about that whole permanent thing in my situation. Like, there's a guy there who came in. Boom, they made him permanent in like months. And then me, I had to wait 4 years. There are circumstances. Of course, it's because I was black and he's white, obviously. Come on, it's racism. Black Lives Matter. Racist company. You know, make it so funny too. I can see somebody playing that card, playing that race card in this situation. And the most ridiculous thing about it to me is that if any company is not racist on the whole planet, if this is just woke capitalism, a facade for woke capitalism, and they just doing all this stuff and saying all the stuff that they do in my emails and the image they try to project, if they racist, and they portraying all that, they win. If they racist and they doing all that, okay. They can be racist. Because my God, I'm inundated. Daily. With self-help and motivation from HR and support and racial equality and harassment, protection, just, it goes on and on. Intersectionality, you know all that stuff. You know that stuff. Allyship, if I didn't say that already. Sexual acceptance, all of that. That's all they do. Sometimes I was like, do y'all guys do any lawyering? Or are you guys out there always doing this? I got a call coming in. Let me see who this is. Yeah, I got to take this. As I was saying before I was interrupted by business, I could have very easily screamed racism. And I can almost see where some people would do that. And if you're inclined to scream racism every 5 minutes, it would be easy. Oh, I was here 4 years. This guy comes in and he's hired permanent in 2 months. Racism. And the scary part is, if I was to do that, the company is so responsive and sensitive to it that they would trigger like a major investigation, disrupt the whole place, just to follow up on that claim. It's just to protect the idea of their culture. Now, I don't know. I'm not commenting on if that's good or bad or left or right. How much effort you put in maintaining a culture. But I will say this about this place. It's the best place I ever worked in ever. The culture is magnificent. I've never seen a culture so drama-free and clean and open and fresh and professional in my life. And of course, it's hardly no talk of sports, though. It's like no talk of sports. I mean, there's no sex talk. There's barely cussing. It's just a nice, clean environment, but it's not dormant or docile. It's not a bunch of rudy-poo people, half-assed and scared or insecure. It's just clean. It's just clean. But anyway, and then I thought about it. This white dude who came in and got hired permanent 2 weeks after he started had 20 years in the legal industry. Worked for other agencies, other companies. And in the legal field, everybody seems to know everybody. All the law firms seem to know everybody. It's like a certain group of people who do what we do, who've been around each other for so many years, they know each other. So when they got him, they knew they probably got something. 20 years experience, blah, 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 familiar with that, with that. They probably say, hey, we got to snatch this guy up quick. Now me, I'm coming in with no law firm experience. Never really did help desk. And they hired me and they brought me on as a temp, as a contractor. Gave me a chance. They told me at first it was only going to be for a couple weeks or so. They said it's going to be for like a couple weeks or so and only like 2 days a week or something. No, it was only going to be 2 days a week. Something like that, they told me. Minimal hour. It was something. Because, you know, I definitely was, you know, like I said, I have an experience. And what they hired me for was to be a flexible worker, something that they haven't ever had before. I was going to be a flexible worker in which my hours weren't standard. And there's HR laws and rules and guidances to where they have to adhere to certain things. So you just can't bring anybody on and say you can work whenever. You have to fall within a certain guideline. So, and I was working flexible schedule, and I was able to do this and do that, and I thought it was the best thing ever. And I thought it was the best thing ever to be able to have my schedule float and rotate like that and not even have the same days working, the same hours change. And I was able to like take trips and go flying someplace and come back and say, can I not work this day? Save PTO and all of that. So I wanted to keep that. And like I said, I didn't have any law firm experience at all. I didn't even know what iManage was. And that's like a basic tenage, I made that word up. That's like a basic tenage of law firms for document handling. But I learned it all, busted my ass for 4.5 years. And I'm in now. I'm a permanent employee of like the second largest law firm in the world, doing help desk at the highest levels. And I'm in. Which is commendable. And if anything you could say, you could almost say that I was hired because I was black. It could have been like an affirmative action thing to where why I got hired in the first place instead of them hiring the white guy so quickly. In fact, I thought that too. I'm like, why they hire me? And then when I got hired, I think like the next three people they hired were black or something like that. You know me, I'm like, I don't care. Anyhow, my name is Jeffrey. Swinging on y'all twice. I'm done. How do I stop it? How do I stop it? How do I stop it, people? I'm out.